Meaty Louie, and a very good Monday morning to you, Auckland. It's 5 minutes past nine, and you're listening to 104.6 Planet FM. Now, my guest today is actually an encore presentation, and as such, the dates that my guest Kate and I talk about are not quite right, but they are all happening. This is actually just a little over a year old, and the baby show is coming up, and Kate's programs all over South Auckland are also scheduled. Check out her website at thenappylady.co.nz for the real dates. And the Princess of Poo. But Kate's work is far more than just the taming of the poo. Kate's involved in making parenting and the shock of parenting, new parenting, far more sustainable and far more easy to manage. Good morning, Kate, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Richard. I might be regretting that title.
You're going to regret that name tag because now it's been recorded in the sound archives.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll embrace it.
That's right. But you are so much more than the Princess of Poo, aren't you? You're all about waste-free parenting, aren't you?
I am indeed, yep. I have, over the last 10 years since I sort of originally started educating people on nappies, because I didn't realise that there was an opening for that, but I started talking to parents about cloth nappies and how they were changing, and over 10 years it's evolved, and I've just listened to what people want to know and created an education program that we now call Waste Free Parenting, which is quite exciting because I do actually get to have the odd presentation that doesn't include that I even mention poo, which is great. And quite exciting.
I'll bet it is. And actually, before we get into the details about the training, what have you got coming up in Auckland, this week, actually?
So this week I've got a few workshops through community programs in South Auckland, which are promoted around their regions. And I'm more than happy if people want to know more about that, they can email me and I'll fill them in with the contact details for that. And then later this week we've got the Auckland Baby Show, which is on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I've got a seminar there on Friday and Saturday. Not quite my full spiel on waste-free parenting. These ones are more just about nappies, and they're about 45 minutes long.
Okay.
But, parents can actually access a pack of nappies through that workshop. For $25, they get $90 worth of nappies.
Right, so there is a cost to attend the seminar, but you're actually going to almost triple your money.
No, the seminar is actually free, so they have to pay to get in. This is always the tricky thing when you're trying to explain things to people.
Okay.
They pay to come into the baby show, so it's about $15 to come to the baby show.
Right.
And that's great because you get to see all the products and lots of freebies and things.
That's right.
Yep, and then you come to the seminar. The seminar's free to attend, but what we have is an allocation of 150 packs for Auckland parents who can, generally it's best to pre-book a pack on my website. It costs them $25, and they pre-book their pack and they collect it from me after the seminar.
Okay, so the seminar's free once you've got into the baby show.
Into the baby show, yes.
And if you want the pack, you can triple your money for... Give $25 down, you'll get roughly $90 worth of kit.
That's right. And because it does get confusing when we have this range of seminars now compared to my normal program. This year we've got Parent Centre, which has kindly come on board, and they're supplying us with a supper. So it's slightly different from last year. It's $30 for an individual and $35 for a couple. And what that gets people is they come along, they get a nice supper, lots of wonderful education, and then they get their free pack of nappies on the night as well.
Well, that's incredible value for money.
The product. So it's a bargain.
That is a real bargain. And who would be, it's not a target audience, it's marketing speak, but you know what I mean. Who's it for?
Well, it's amazing who we get coming along, actually, because we get... quite a few daycare people, so people who own daycare centres come along, and sometimes their staff to learn a bit about waste-free parenting. I get a lot of mostly pregnant women or couples. A lot of dads come along.
I was going to ask you that.
You'd be surprised how many dads come along. And then also we've got grandparents who come along as well. So it might be that they're coming on behalf because mum's just had a baby, or they might be coming with their daughter or daughter-in-law. I haven't had many grandfathers, mostly grandmothers.
Right, but, okay. You know, a different generation.
Always an opportunity for grandpas to come along too.
Right, and step up even if they didn't in the previous generation.
Oh, they might learn something quite interesting.
That's right.
You never know.
And a totally random question that's just popped into my head. Do aspiring babysitters come? Do you get many teens who are interested in babysitting and looking after small children?
Not as much, but I do actually get quite a few people who are not pregnant and are going to have children in the future, who want to educate themselves on different things first. Because what happened is, as the workshop sort of transitioned from being about nappies to being about waste-free living, people apply a lot of the things that they learn in the workshops to their day-to-day life without having children. Well, because there's a lot of relevant things that they learn during that time as well.
Okay, so give me the once-over of what a waste-free parenting workshop would cover.
So the first part I generally do is there's about half an hour to three-quarters of an hour on nappies, depending on what we've labelled the workshop. So there'll be a little bit on nappies, and a lot of that also, a lot of people learn a lot around how washing machines work, funnily enough, how to wash even clothing properly, and how products work with washing machines and the difference between washing on cold and warm and how that affects the cleanliness of clothing.
Okay.
There's a lot of basic education around, like often when you're setting up to be a parent, and I talk a lot about the layette list that you get, which is the list of stuff that you need to have a baby these days, which is amazingly long. And it was actually my husband's grandmother one day sort of looked at this list, and she's like, it's amazing what you young people need these days to have a baby.
It's true.
Yeah, it was, and I had never even really looked at it because we were the ultimate consumers when we had our son. We took the list in, found the most helpful person in the shop, helped us buy everything on the list, took her home, a couple of $1,000 lighter in the pocket, and realised a couple of months later didn't need most of it.
But, right, right.
And the most relevant thing we found afterwards was the shop had actually written the list.
Oh, of course.
Best marketing ever. Because as a parent, you know, you've never done this before. You don't know what to do, what to expect. You hear stories, but you can't. You have no idea.
So your list is brought down to what's really needed without the marketing hype.
Yeah, yeah. And also, because as Nana said, you know, at the end of the day, and in her days, you had the baby and you were ready.
You were ready. But also, probably in her day, Plunkett turned up with a kit.
Yeah.
Of bare minimum stuff, but a kit nonetheless.
But they just, I mean, as she said, it was so right. You need blankets, you need somewhere for the baby to sleep, you need some food and some clothes. And then everything else nowadays, we're lucky the shop is down the road. So if you need it, you can get it. But often, you know, we spend a fortune setting up to have this baby and for preparing for every situation that could possibly be, and the situation never eventuates. So
yes,
you're better off to wait.
And more often than not, you can bang the drums and the sisterhood of mothers will deliver that odd object that you need because your situation's unique.
Absolutely.
It's out there.
Yes, the benefits of social media, you know.
That's right.
People are there. So it's, yeah, and so it sort of led from that. So I talk around, I mean, a lot of it, to be honest, is just talking to people about common sense. A lot of it's common sense because it goes out the window. And going back to how things used to be, like having a garden, having a worm farm, composting. I mean, composting's never been that hard. It's just that we think that it's going to be this hideously time-intensive, labour-intensive thing.
But it's not.
But, you know, Granddad had a couple of bits of 4x2 in the corner of the garden by the neighbours he mostly didn't like. And then, you know, that was the compost bin.
That's right.
You didn't have to go and buy one. You built one. Or nowadays, you know, worm farm made out of an old bath. You don't, you know, you can do it quite retro if you like, but you don't have to buy new stuff.
Of course. And as you say, so much of it is just common sense. But when we're pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant, a lot of common sense goes out the window and we start worrying.
Yes. Yeah. And we start researching.
Yes. And there's plenty of people willing to tell us that we need their product.
Oh, yes. Or how to do things as well. You know, how what you should and shouldn't do and how you shouldn't do things. And I mean, everybody's situation is so different. It's not for one person to dictate how your pregnancy is going to be, because yours will be different from everybody else's. The one thing you can guarantee is the baby will come out and then it will be here. You've got to deal with that.
And that you're going to lose some sleep.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
And, you know, for me a lot, and that's the whole, like, the whole issue around cloth nappies is people get really freaked out about using cloth nappies, thinking it's going to be, again, a really hideous, time-intensive sort of project to have in your home. What I think a lot of people have forgotten is washing machines. You know, nobody stored their grandmother's old Ringer washing machine just in case they decided to use cloth nappies in the future.
Right, but that's the myth that's in all our heads, isn't it?
That's right, and we all think we'll all head off down the river, give them a good rinse out in the river as a joint rope.
And beat them against rocks and... Yeah.
Then, you know, drag them home and put them through the Ringer washing machine. We've forgotten that nowadays, like, literally doing a load of washing is so intuitive now. Like, you put it in, you push go, and the machine works it all out for you.
Right. So there's some serious myth-busting, and I hear what you say about, you know, people don't use all the features of their washing machine, do they?
No.
Because they just, you know, who separates colors from, you know, light from dark and warm from cold or anything anymore?
No. But we've forgotten that, like, isn't it an amazing piece of equipment? You know, it does the whole job for you. Back in grandma's days, they rinse, then they, because you don't even soak cloth nappies now. So you rinse and then you store and then you wash. But we're still in thinking that you're going to have to rinse, soak, you know, wash, then wring them out by hand and then wash them again and then, you know, put them on the line and it's going to be terrible. But it's not. You put them in the washing machine and you can choose to have a soak, a rinse, a soak again if you want to, an extra rinse at the end. It's all done in the one machine.
The machine will do it for you.
Yeah, and that takes away that intensity of cloth nappies. So the hardest thing for people as well is what to buy, because they're always worried about, well, which nappies do I buy? And the biggest mistake they make is that they go and buy a full set of nappies before they have the baby.
Right.
And the thing is that there's so many different types of nappies now. If you buy the wrong one, you'll hate cloth nappies.
So best to come to the workshop and find out what you're going to need and what the progression is? Because I imagine there's a progression of types and sizes of nappies, cloth nappies.
Yeah, there's different types, and that's the most confusing thing. If there's any advice, I mean, people who come to the workshop will get this advice anyway, but the best advice I can give any parents, and even if it's a grandparent looking to buy nappies, because a lot of grandparents are willing to buy the cloth nappies for their daughter or daughter-in-law to have a go.
Right.
You just buy two or three different brands of nappies, just one, and a few, like, mate, so they end up with maybe four different brands of cloth nappies, one in each brand.
And test drive them?
And test them. And so when the baby's here, let's face it, most parents don't go cloth nappies till the baby's 2 weeks to a month old. Perfect time to trial cloth nappies and just try the different types. Enjoy using them when you feel like using them. Don't put yourself under a whole lot of pressure. And at the end of the day, Richard, to be honest, if a parent only uses one cloth nappy a day, which for me is an absolute, I succeed if I get a parent to use one cloth nappy a day, because at one cloth nappy a day, it's not hard.
No.
But over 2.5 years, it's 365 nappies per year that don't go to landfill.
Wow.
So you're nearly 1,000 nappies that don't go to landfill from one cloth nappy a day.
And multiply across how many infants and toddlers across the country? That's quite significant.
It works out to be, I did all the maths, and there's about 145,000 babies or children in nappies from birth to 2.5 at any one time. And if you multiply that over a week, it's about 1 million nappies a week that wouldn't go to landfill. Just if everybody just did one cloth nappy a day. So you don't have to be an environmental saint. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to do it all. You just do one small thing, and it creates a massive change.
And isn't that just the parenting in a nutshell?
Yeah,
try not to be so damn perfect, and just do your best, and work at it incrementally.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing. And I mean, that's where a lot of my whole workshop, because when we get into the waste-free living side of things, it's very motivating, because I think people start realizing, and they realize that I'm certainly not perfect. I never claim to be perfect. I mean, I love V8s.
Of course.
I like going to, you know, my dream would be to go to Bathurst and things like that. I'm absolute petrol head, love it. But I try to do everything else as well as possible, because it's all about balance. So it's all about, yes, there's things that you enjoy, and yes, there's convenience and things like that, but it's about bringing it back to being as manageable as and as with as little impact as possible. Because I think for us as a family, the biggest thing was once we had Daniel and we started noticing how much waste a baby creates, it was a real light bulb moment.
Sure.
And for us, it was like, man, if we're throwing this much rubbish out a week, and you drive down the street and our rubbish is collected on a Friday, and you see how much rubbish everybody else is throwing away, and then all of a sudden it started hitting home, and we're like, wow, if this is what we're doing every week, and the earth is not getting bigger, where's it all going? And that's when I started educating myself to find out about landfills and things like that, because a lot of us have just got no idea.
That's right.
And so because you don't know where the rubbish goes, in fact, I assumed that it went to the old tip, like mum and dad used to back up the old EH, you know, all the kids.
That's right.
Jump out, rummage around at the tip, find a bit of treasure. There's always the guy there who was rummaging around behind you, getting all the stuff you had thrown out that was good and resourceful, and he'd sell it at the front gate.
That's right.
You know, that I still thought it was like that. And I, you know, if I put stuff in my rubbish bin and thought, oh, you know, I probably could do something with that, I thought the guy would be there to get it. I didn't know that, you know, nowadays a landfill is not like that.
No, they're not like that. And not only that, the guy was never going to pull those nappies out of the landfill and repurpose them.
No, but you know, we had no idea, because even putting our food waste into the rubbish, we just assumed that putting the food waste into the rubbish bin was the right thing to do, because it would go to that whole tip situation, it would get turned back into the earth and decompose and all of that sort of thing. But I mean, as you would have, you know, you know perfectly well, it's like a landfill is nowadays just a giant pit in the ground where all of the moisture is taken away. All of, and it, you know, it's all sealed up into like basically like small tombs, and then it becomes just and turns into a mummified state. So even biodegradable bags and biodegradable anything is not going to biodegrade in the landfill if there's no air or moisture.
That's right. And in Japan, they're actually mining them for precious minerals.
Well, because we throw so much stuff away.
That's right.
You know, and that's why for me, that as I changed the workshops, it became really about educating people on what we don't realize, but we assume.
That's right.
I think there's just that assumption that we know what happens, but we don't actually know. And so I work on the theory is if you know, then you can make a difference.
And when you know how easy it is to do, because a lot of parents are just so busy, particularly the new ones, just coping with the newness of it all.
Yes.
And you've done the homework, which means they don't have to.
No. And it's also, I mean, I give example of our life as well. I mean, I travel, I'm probably away, well, between now and Christmas, I think I've got 2 weeks at home without a trip. So I travel a lot. And my husband and I managed to have 2 worm farms. We've got a compost bin. We grow all of our own fruit. We've got 2 raised bed veggie gardens. We've got dogs, which act as our, you know, garbage disposals. We've got it's sort of set up as a sustainable backyard, but it's been 10 years worth of work. and we always have something that's the next goal. Like rainwater tanks is our next goal.
There you go.
And it's always just having something that you're working towards next. But the first thing we started out with was just the compost bin and cloth nappies.
There you go. Now, you do these courses across the country, correct? It's not just Auckland. This is an Auckland radio show, but you do this just about everywhere, don't you?
Yeah, I've got 35 councils that I run the program for around the country.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's hence I'm away so much, but I love it.
So if somebody's streaming this show and they're in Otaki, they can go to your website, thenappylady.co.nz, and find out when you're passing through town next?
Yes, yep. And so there's generally most places are once every 6 months. In Auckland, it's 5 times a year I come up there. And then there's a few places like Palmerston North that I go to 4 times a year. So there's different areas that I go to and different sort of timings. But in the pack's slightly different around some of the regions as well. Just for example, down in Balclutha, we have 2 packs available, so they can choose to have a waste-free parenting pack, which has 2 nappies and some other fantastic waste-free products, or they can get a waste-free living pack, which actually has no nappies in it, which means that they can, so a grandmother might really like that pack, or somebody whose kids are at school and don't need nappies. So we are trying to tailor it to sort of be information rich for all types of families in different situations as well.
Right. And the packs generally vary between the various cities and the programs. So whatever you see on the website may or may not be what's available in your town.
Yeah. We are trying, though.
Trying to standardize.
Now, where you actually book the workshop on my website, on the workshops page, if you scroll right down to the bottom of the page, I've actually put pictures of the examples of the packs up with the councils listed on the left-hand side who
supply
those packs.
Yeah. Now, a question that popped into my head, this is 10 minutes ago in our conversation, and we were talking about washing machines and all the cool things they can do and how they handle nappies.
Yeah.
Would the same be true about feminine hygiene products that are available that are much more environmentally friendly?
Yes, it would be. And I actually do quite a section on reusable products for women in the workshop as well, because it is something that a lot of women don't know about, but it is actually quite surprising how good the modern products are. It's fascinating. Not for most men, but
no, true. But that's why I thought I'd mention it, because actually it's really useful information.
It is. Well, I mean, for example, I use one of the modern products and have done for 10 years, and they call it a cup, and it's indifference to anything else you've ever thought about. But it's just a cup, and you just empty it twice a day, and that's it. But the fascinating thing with it is I've saved myself well over $1,500 in 10 years, and I've sent absolutely zero waste to landfill. One of the things that women often don't know is that you should never ever put any of the disposable menstrual products down the toilet. So pads, tampons, anything should never ever be flushed down the toilet. And a lot of women don't know that. And it's a little bit the same, just going back to nappies. You should never ever put a nappy in the rubbish bin still with the poos in it. The poos are required to be removed, and it is on the packet of each packet.
Really?
Same, yeah, absolutely. Because it's human waste going to landfill, which shouldn't happen. It's not okay.
Gotcha.
You know, you wouldn't collect all your own poo and pop it in the landfill, would you? You know.
Well, no. And
I ask people that, because that's what they're doing.
That's right. And my mother taught me to empty it out before I put it in the rubbish bin, but I had never thought about why.
That's why.
Occurred to me.
No. So it's a lot of, like in my workshop, I suppose, with products like the reusable menstrual products, I'm happy to tackle those topics. When a lot of people are quite nervous about, or a lot of people have always wondered about it, but never researched it because they didn't know. So that's why, yeah, it's definitely a bit of an eye-opener. I'm happy to go there.
Yeah, no, I was really pleased. I mean, in a former life, I was doing health education as part of aid work. Yes. So I'm not so squeamish about such topics. But, you know, you mentioned that, you know, postpartum incontinence, you're going to have a talk about that. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm.
It's such a taboo subject. Brilliant to have it out there and just, you know, let's have a five-minute chat about this so that you know what the facts are.
Well, the interesting thing, and I mean, you know, it's the whole thing with women as well. They often don't you don't sit around having a coffee talking about your monthly cycle. But they'll have a baby and sit around talking about, you know, their Caesar and you know, epidurals and all sorts of birth stories. But then when somebody brings up, you know, monthly cycles, they're like, oh, dear, no, we don't want to talk about that. And I don't know why it's still in that zone of, you know, we must not talk about it, because you've got it for at least 40 years. You know, the baby's only in nappies for 2.5, births for 1 day, and then, you know, menstruation's for 40 years, but we won't talk about it.
Right.
So well, it's sort of, yeah, and I suppose as I've been asked to introduce some of these different topics, I love it because it's great to be able to just bring it out and into the open and discuss it and, you know, and make it normal.
Well, and also just in a safe and knowledgeable environment. It's not rumors. It's myth-busting. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's so important. And that's why I suppose I love what I do just purely because I can speak out and educate people without any, and because I don't sell anything, I'm completely just driven to give people options. For me, it's about, you know, there's a lot of areas in life now where there's big corporations who pay so that just their information is given out through sponsorship and things like that.
Yep.
And that's where, for me, it's become about, okay, so I'm going to be the little guy who's actually going to talk about the options that you don't get, because a lot of the small companies that are making these amazingly change, like the products that can change the way that people think or change the waste side of things, they're small, very small businesses, and they can't compete with the marketing budgets.
That's
so
right.
Therefore, I can be their voice, and because I don't sell anything, people listen because I'm not going to give them an order form at the end.
There you go. Well, Kate, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, which is actually a good place to leave it because I think you're doing wonderful work. Before we sign off, it's thenappylady.co.nz, and you're going to be at the baby show this weekend here in Auckland, as well as a couple of workshops in South Auckland.
Yes,
that's
right.
During the week, correct?
Yeah, that's Monday, Tuesday.
Monday, Tuesday. So that's, well, airtime, that's today and tomorrow.
Yeah. And, I'll have all of those products on my stand at the baby show if people want to come and talk to me about any of that stuff as well.
Terrific. Kate, thank you so much for your time.
It's all right. Thanks, Richard. It's a pleasure.
And that was Kate Mead, the Nappy Lady. Now, this was an encore presentation, so the dates we spoke about are incorrect. However, the baby show is August the 18th, which I believe is a week and a half away. And Kate does have workshops across Auckland happening as we speak and going into the next 3 weeks. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you next week. Forget, you can listen again online at any time. PlanetAudio.org